Good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. I heard a great saying the other day. How do you reopen something that isn't closed? How am I going? I'm right? Yes. And so it's great to be able to meet together. It's great to be able to worship together. It's great to be able to fellowship together. So welcome, everyone. It's great to see some old friends coming and joining with us every Sunday and different ones each Sunday. So it's just a wonderful thing to be together as the body of Christ. I don't know how you went this week, but it was a bit of a crazy week, wasn't it? Somewhat of a crazy week. I just need to disable my screen here. Good. And in many ways, with what's going on in America, what's going on all around about us, what's even happened here in Brisbane this week, it's this constant reminder of the brokenness of our world and the pain and struggle of our world. And it's this delightful thing that we can rest in the hope that is ours in Jesus. And so as this morning we open the word together, as we, as it were, allow God to speak into our lives, we do it recognizing we're part of this incredibly broken world and we need Jesus. Our world needs Jesus. Let me pray. Father, we do thank you for this privilege of knowing you, of being your children, of knowing you as God, our Heavenly Father, our Saviour. And Lord, in Jesus' name, yes, we come to declare your greatness, to declare it is well with my soul, to cry out to you this morning. And we thank you, God, that you are the God who has spoken, who is speaking. And yes, Lord, we know we need your word in our life. We're hungry for your word. We need you. And so we simply ask that you, God, by your Spirit, would feed us, speak into our hearts and minds, challenge our wills. Lord, our desire is that Jesus would be lifted high. And so, yes, Lord, we thank you for your presence with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're in John 15, exploring the last of Jesus' I am statements. I am the true vine. And let me read again from John 15. If you've got your Bibles, turn to them. It's here on the screen. I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. Just hang on a second. Can someone indicate, have you got grey blocks on the screen or is it okay? It's okay. It's not okay. Okay, let me just do something here. Okay, I hope that's better. I think that's fixed. I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. 2 weeks ago, when we first looked at John 15, we considered the imagery of Jesus as the true vine and God the gardener. And we saw how Jesus tapped into this big theme that runs from cover to cover through the Bible: God's eternal desire, his longing for the restoration of his creation, of all things which he pictured here as fruit. Yes, God the farmer wants humanity, instead of turning away from him in rebellion and sin, knowing and enjoying him. Instead of lives filled with brokenness and pain, people being whole and free. Instead of neighborhoods filled with evil and hatred, people loving and caring for one another. Instead of an earth scarred and abused, being beautiful, a beautiful place, the beautiful place God intended it to be. God's heart has not changed. He has not abandoned his creation. He wants fruit. As Habakkuk, the ancient Jewish prophet, put it, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in Jesus, we see God doing just that. He is the true vine, the way, the truth, and the life, the one who declared, "No one comes to the Father but through me." Yes, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You will know the reality of God's goodness and blessing in your life. But notice also here in John 15 how Jesus includes us in this picture of farmers, vines, and fruit. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Verse 8, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to me to be my disciples. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. We who have repented and believed in Jesus, who, as Jesus put it here in verse 2, have been cleaned because of the word through the message of Jesus, we are the branches. We are, as it were, the presence of Jesus in this world here and now. In who we are as people, in what we say and do, we are shining out Jesus. It's a simple fact of life. Where we go, who we are, as followers of Jesus, we are shining out Jesus. The life of Jesus that is able to produce fruit, the very thing the Father is looking for, is going out to the world wherever the branches go. As Jesus put it in John 20, as the Father sent me, so I send you. What is really helpful for us here is Jesus' explanation of how to be a branch. I mean, think about it. We are branches. That's in the picture Jesus is painting here. We are branches. We're not something else. That's who we are. And, of course, the challenge is, well, how do you be a branch? Being a branch is not necessarily natural to who I am. How can I be a branch? Well, the first thing that Jesus tells us is to remain in him. Verse 4. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 6, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. The picture Jesus paints here takes us to the very heart of what it means to be a Christian. You see, to believe in Jesus is to enter into a new kind of life, the eternal kind of life God made us to enjoy. As the branches, we have been grafted into the vine. And so we hear, for example, the Apostle Paul describing the Christian life as Christ in us, as us being in Christ. A.B. Simpson was the founder of the movement of which our church is a part, the Christian Missionary Alliance. And he used interesting imagery to describe the Christian life. He pictured an empty bottle being thrown into the ocean. And he said, the bottle is in the sea and the sea is in the bottle. It's a glorious picture. That brings us to the picture on the screen, in case you've been scratching your head wondering, yeah, but what's that about? Well, a century ago, a dozen or so of shipyards in the United States constructed a fleet of wooden ships to aid the fight against Germany during World War I. Today, more than 100 of these historic vessels survive, submerged along a stretch of the Potomac River. If an ancient Greek was asked to describe what's happened to these ships, he would say they've been baptized. The ships are in the water and the water has soaked into the ships and saturated to the ships. That's why when a person believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we baptize them, because it's a wonderful picture of what it means to be a believer, to be a Christian. Christ in us and us in Christ. Yes, to be a follower of Jesus, to have believed in Jesus, to be a Christian is to be in Christ. And Jesus tells us here in John 15, remain in me. He's assuming that his hearers understand the very nature of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. He's saying, stay in me. Stay connected. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, for human beings who tend towards independence, who tend towards proudly saying, I can do things, this comes as a challenge. Because the fact of the matter is, we've been called to a life that we cannot live. No amount of effort on our part can live this Christian life. It's in Christ, and Jesus says, remain in me, stay connected. Yes, the fact is, we cannot live as branches apart from him. We are dependent on him. Here in John 15, this remain is a verb. It is something we need to do. Let me quickly suggest a couple of things that might be helpful in our remaining. Firstly, rest in faith. The Bible tells us that God is in us, working in our lives by the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit in us that changes us. That it is through the work of the Spirit in us that God is at work in us, changing us from glory to glory. And so in the first instance, the reality is God is at work in us. As the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I live by faith in the Son of God. And so in the first instance, to remain in Christ is to rest in faith, is to rest in faith in the Son of God. Not faith as a work, but faith in God at work in us. Knowing that it's God that's doing this in me. God, I believe you. Change me, work in me, do what you want to do in me. Yes, it's a rest. To remain is to rest in faith. But to remain is also to nourish your mind. The Bible tells us to love the Lord our God with all our strength, with all our heart, with all our strength, with all our minds. One of my concerns, and I know I say it all the time, is my frustration is that people do not love God with their minds. Our minds are an important function, an important aspect of what it means to be human beings. And we need to love God with our minds. We need to nourish our minds. That requires us to open the Word of God, to study God's Word. You see, the whole purpose of our nourishing of our minds is that we might know Jesus, the living Word of God. And how do we know the living Word of God? Through the written Word of God. You see, we grow in Christ, in the knowledge of Christ, through nourishing our minds, feeding on the Word of God. Reading the Bible doesn't make you a Christian. Reading the Bible opens your eyes that you might know Jesus, see Jesus, that you might feed on him. We need the Word of God. No shortcuts here. We need the Word of God. Another is to submit to one another. This is an interesting principle in the Bible that we see all the time. You see, we today are fellowshipping together as the church. We are submitting to one another. We are learning from one another. We are encouraging one another. We need one another. I need the people of God. If I'm going to remain in Christ, I need the people of God beside me, walking with me, encouraging me, challenging me. There are no lone branches. I mean, you go to a vineyard and look at a grapevine. There's not just one vine over there, and one branch over there doing its own thing. It's just not reality. One of the most dangerous things is a person who believes in Jesus and is out there on their own. We need to fellowship together. We need the encouragement. That's why we encourage people to be part of a small group. That's why we encourage people to, yes, let's meet together here as the church. I mean, there's unlimited amount of teaching out there. Why do this on Sunday morning? Why not go to the best preachers in the world? Because we need to be together as the body of Christ and hear what God is saying to us as a church here today. Yep, we need to submit to one another and learn from one another. And yes, we need to live in obedience. If you love me, you will obey me, Jesus said. We need to reflect Jesus, to do what Jesus did. I want to do what you want, Jesus. Jesus was glorified because he was the obedient son. The Father cheered him and welcomed him into heaven and saying, look at my son, my obedient son, who was obedient unto death on the cross. No shortcuts, obedience. Yes, remain in him. Secondly, Jesus tells us that if we are going to be a branch, then ask whatever you wish in his name. It's interesting here in John 15 that we find this incredible statement in this context, repeated. Verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Again, verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. When it comes to reading the Bible, there are some important principles we need to always remember. And one of them is this: context is king. Context is king. You see, over the years, people have taken a verse, one single verse of the Bible, out of its context and made that verse say something that it would have never said within its own context. What Jesus says here is a case in point. People have used this verse of scripture as a justification for asking all sorts of things. Ah, okay, God. You've given us a credit card with no limits. We can get whatever we ask, whatever we like on it. God will give it, you will give it to us. And so off they go. I want that car. I want that house. I want that person. Yes, what Jesus is saying here is a little like a person being given a company credit card. He gives it to us and says, I want you to use this in your role as a branch. Ask me and I will sort it out. It's interesting, many people have company credit cards. And sadly, people misuse company credit cards. There was a person who went to jail recently for misappropriating company funds in the way he handled the company credit card. Yes, here's the company credit card to be used by the branches in this task of producing fruit. And so at any point where you are confronted with a seemingly impenetrable barrier to fruit production, No, it doesn't matter what it is. It can be anything. Ask me and I will sort it out. There's a wonderful illustration of this in Acts chapter 4. And Peter and John had been up to the temple in chapter 3 and God had used them to proclaim Jesus. A man was healed. Thousands of people came to believe in Jesus. But the religious leaders weren't happy. And so they pulled them in to the Sanhedrin and they're asking them questions and telling them not to preach Jesus. And they're beaten and then they're released. And so the Peter and John, they're praising God for what had happened, and they come back to the rest of the believers and they tell the people everything that had happened. In Acts 4:24, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. And they're praising and worshiping God, and they're crying out to God to do something. Verse 29. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. I mean, these people were people just like you and me. They weren't super saints. They're just ordinary people. Intimidated by powerful people. And they cried out to God. Now, of course, this credit card might need to be used in all sorts of situations if we are to be fruit-bearing branches. Not only in a similar context to Acts 4, but maybe there's a situation where it is, Lord, my life isn't reflecting your character. I'm not walking in the fruit of the Spirit as Paul speaks of in Galatians 5. Forgive my sin. Change me. Lord, I don't know what to say to this person. Give me the words to speak, empower me. Lord, when I look at what has happened just this last week across the world, I have mercy. I feel so helpless and hopeless in the situation. Pour out your spirit. Break down the barriers. Remove evil people. Let the glory and the beauty and the wonder of Jesus prevail on the streets of our neighborhoods. Ask whatever you wish in my name. And being a branch will also mean remaining in Jesus' love. Remain in my love. Verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that your joy, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Now my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. We have previously noted how in John 14, Jesus linked love and obedience together. If you love me, keep my commandments. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. Earlier in chapter 13, Jesus spoke of loving one another. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And yet again here in John 15, we see this same emphasis. From John's perspective, being a branch means remaining in Jesus' love, to live in God's love, to love our neighbors as ourselves. Again, this is a call to do something, to allow the love of God to engulf us, to allow God's love to sustain us, heal us, restore us, strengthen us, to allow love to shape our thinking and behavior. I mean, think about this. Everything I am, everything I do is shaped by, is influenced by, is motivated by God's love. How do we respond to the hatred and pain in our world? With love. With love. Francis Schaeffer, a Christian philosopher and apologist from last century, called love the mark of the Christian, the final apologetic. I mean, you know, we hear, read in graphic language, the mark of the beast in Revelation. Well, as branches, as followers of Jesus, we've been branded, and the brand is love. You see, when people see and experience the love of God at the hands of Christians, they are experiencing the presence of Jesus. It's as if a beautiful piece of juicy fruit appeared in the midst of a drought. Yes, we who have believed in Jesus are the branches. We have been grafted into Christ, the true vine, so that we might be part of God's desire, his longing for fruit. And so remain in Christ. Ask whatever you wish in his name. Remain in his love. Let's pray together. Let me pray. Father, thank you for your great love. Thank you for your goodness. We thank you, God, that you are indeed the gardener that longs for fruit, that longs to see your world restored, to see sin and death obliterated. We thank you for Jesus, that you are the living Lord Jesus Christ, the one who defeated sin and death once and for all. That you, Jesus, are the one who gives life, who heals, restores. And yes, Father, we thank you for your presence with us. And we look at our world today and we cry out to you for mercy. We cry out, God, for your intervention. We cry out, God, for healing of broken lives, of healing of broken relationships, for healing of broken bodies. For healing of a broken earth. Have mercy, Father. And we thank you, God, that we can be branches wherever we are, whatever we're doing. Lord, empower us by your Spirit that we might shine out Jesus. Shine, Jesus, shine. I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I ask your blessing on them. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, may the love of God, and may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit fill every one of us, Father. Oh, Lord, we need you. We cannot do this apart from you. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.